Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Mark Scroggins of Rule Scroggins, PLLC, divorce and family law firm in Dallas, serving Dallas and Collin counties. This is the Rule Scroggins Family Law Podcast Series featuring news and information in Texas divorce and family law. Today's show, we're going to talk about getting back to normal after a divorce or family law matter with Mark Scroggins. We're going to talk about adjusting to new ways to keep busy with work, friends, and family. We'll talk about mental health and well-being, the importance of it, and working with a life coach or counselor. We'll talk about creating a game plan for being the best co-parent the world's ever seen, despite some challenges we always face. We're also going to talk about dating again and, of course, approaching that new marriage with or without children and all the other fun complications that can go along with it. Again, the goal on today's program is to talk about getting back on track through and after what can be a challenging time for so many people. Again, I'm here with board-certified in family law attorney Mark Scroggins. He's an aggressive and experienced trial attorney with a sound understanding of business matters that serves him well in family law. He's an accomplished speaker and author who's practiced family law throughout the state of Texas for over 20 years. He's written about family law matters for Texas Lawyer and numerous other periodicals, and has spoken about litigation technology before numerous organizations and corporate clients. Mark Scroggins has a unique background in cutting-edge litigation technology, which is utilized by his entire firm to increase the benefit to litigation clients. By way of general disclaimer, this is a general information program. This program is not intended to be legal advice. Listening to this program does not create attorney-client relationships. For more information, please call Rule Scroggins directly to speak to an attorney by dialing 214-578-0941. Again, 214-578-0941. All rights to this broadcast are reserved. It's time to say good morning to Mark Scroggins.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today? What's new over there at Rule Scroggins? I'm busy with trials. It seems like the entire world I know is in the middle of final trials right before, the holiday weekend here.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I've been in court a lot this week. Luckily, I am not today or tomorrow. I've actually got to prepare for being in Odessa next week. But, aside from that, it's just another day in the life, man. That's about it.
What are you going to Odessa for? Put work or pleasure?
No, it is work. It is work. We've got it kind of feeds into what we're talking about, how to get to normal. And, you brought up the issue of co-parenting. There's a case out there where, represent a woman, and the other side has filed a motion to modify or a petition to modify. And it's something where they've lived in Denton County now for 4 years, something like that, which means it's a mandatory transfer of the case. Okay. There's no reason to fight about anything. It is. That's what the statute says. But instead of that, her ex-husband's being a jackass and apparently has a lawyer to match who won't return calls and do stuff like that. So we're going to end up spending thousands of dollars to go out there when there's no purpose of doing that. And that is bad on so many different levels, just because one, it causes unnecessary use of money that there's no reason for. Number two, it requires you to get into that emotional bank as well and make a withdrawal when there's no reason to do that. And so, instead people take things to a different level than what it needs to be, which is I find very disappointing. And I, nobody likes a good old street fight in the courtroom better than me. But there's a time and a place for it, man. You don't need to take it there, over something stupid. And, that's just ridiculous in my opinion.
Well, some people are they're bent on fighting, and they spend $40,000 to prevent them from getting the $40 toaster. There's people. I don't know, how many times have I seen this one case? A woman went out of her way to fight to make sure that she got the boat. Now, mind you, she had no interest in the boat, had never been on the boat, wouldn't have any idea how to start the boat. She just wanted him not to have that boat. So sometimes, these things happen, and whether the case is something that can be reasonably agreeable, people sometimes maybe get into big battles over, things early on and maybe at the temporary order stage or whatnot, and they kind of start to find out that this could be really painful to go long term, and we've got an ornery judge who's not happy with us. So let's be amicable. So maybe the thing settled out, and we walked away from divorce or the family law case, and things were okay. Now it's time to get back on track. And, major life event, divorce, marriage, these are all qualifying in the major life events category and the major stressor categories. So work can suffer, personal relationships suffer. I'm sure it's people spend a while saying, hi, you can talk to me again. My divorce is over. I can talk about other things now. So, as we sort of start to realize that we're going back into a world that, with all the rest of our neighbors and friends have not been going through divorce, how do we talk to them again? So that's what we're trying to get to today. So what are some tips that you tell clients or that you have for, working with, keeping busy with readjusting with work, of course, friends and family? Now, family, that can be our family that we're retaining from, the divorce. Sometimes people are still friends with the in-laws, all sorts of things. But what are some first steps in reentering the world?
Well, one of the things I always suggest to my clients is that, the use of mental health experts, counselors, divorce workshops, divorce recovery groups are excellent. The studies show that it takes someone typically 15 months to 2 years to get over, to really get over a divorce. And I would tend to think that it's closer to the 2 year mark. And of course that, that's just a general rule. It all depends on the length of the marriage, and what the issues were. Did you want the divorce? Did you not want the divorce? Was it amicable? Was it filled with acrimony? I mean, how did it go? Okay. So understanding that it takes a while to get over it. Okay. Even if you wanted it, it takes a while to get over it. And, you need to learn how to be able to set certain boundaries with family and with your friends. And that's one of the things, in using a counselor, whether it's a licensed professional counselor, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a psychologist, or whether it's a psychiatrist. You need to learn that, you don't want to just be talking to your family and friends about what's going on in your divorce, because people get tired of it. They get tired of it and they tend to pull back because you're not respecting boundaries that they have placed. But you need to kind of – working with a professional to help you get over things is something that is really good, and that's where the divorce recovery groups can also be very helpful, because then you realize that, you're not the only person going through this, and you know that anyway. But when you are able to sit there with other people that are going through the same emotions that you are and the roller coaster of emotions, that can be a good thing and comforting, and then it allows you to work through – everything that is involved with that. So those are really good things that I strongly recommend to clients. And, and if you are, it's normal, people have, a lot of people will have some depression issues coming out of it, situational depression. Go talk to a psychiatrist about what's going on. I mean, depression is something that shouldn't be tinkered with. It is a scary disease. I mean, all you have to do is read the paper, read the Dallas Morning News over here, and you can see Susan Hawk, our DA, is in treatment again. So it's not something to be trifled with. And a lot of time going and talking to a psychiatrist who can, who is trained in dealing with this type of thing, who can assess what level of depression you are suffering from. Is it something that would just benefit from therapy? Is it something that, you need to take an antidepressant for a little bit of time? Those are all okay. Those are all okay. And it doesn't mean you're going to be on something forever, or that you're going to need to go to counseling forever. It means that you're going to need to do this for a little bit of time to assist you in working through the process. And that's all That's all it is.
It doesn't mean you're crazy. It means you're normal.
No.
And, you know, like you said, depression and some of these, it's much better to go and get a prescription for something to help ease the nerves than to self-medicate. You know, you see a lot of people potentially developing substance abuse problems in connection with how they choose to deal with their stresses.
Yeah, that's huge. That's common. And I mean, you know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I got divorced back in 2003. And, you know, I had made the decision that's what I wanted to do. I knew it was the right decision, you know, and it still emotionally whipped my ass. Absolutely did, you know. And so I took advantage of just what I've been talking about to assist me in getting through it. So I can only imagine the emotional tumult that someone goes through when it's not what they wanted and they have a long, drawn-out, heavily litigated divorce. I mean, it's just, it's rough. And these people that kind of have the, you know, 1950s mentality like what my dad had, which is, you know, rub dirt on it or, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Right.
You know, that just, that doesn't work. That just doesn't work. So,
well,
you
I
know,
mean, You sort of look at people who have been through, we have, there's like different, several different types of people in the world. There's people who are serial marriage and divorce people, and they're on number 5 or 6, and they just
right.
love the thrill of the hunt, and then the shred, I mean, there's something just animalistic about it. Then there's the people who, you know, get divorced or get married too quickly for the wrong reasons, and then say, oh no, I've made a mistake. And they, you know, correct or try to run from the mistake. And you've got people who married, you know, thinking they were going to be together forever, and they absolutely will. I've had friends like this where one of my friend's mothers, all she could talk about, I mean, it's been 12, 15 years, and it's like the Band-Aid just got ripped off yesterday. So I suppose you've got all sorts of different personalities out there. And what I find interesting over the probably 20 years I've been exposed dealing with divorce and divorce law is you've got a mixture between like some of these different personality types getting married to other people along the way. And, you know, you could get married to someone. And I mean, if you get married too quick, how do you really even know this person? So you could get wrapped up in a whole mess that, you know, you could talk about people being victims out there. And I'm sure that these life coaches and counselors have seen so many different types of situations that they know the magic words to help people calm down because it can when stress hits so bad, we don't realize it takes control over us, and we could be making really poor decisions thinking we're doing right things.
Well, that's right. And I mean, that's why, you know, I also mentioned that time frame of 15 to 24 months. I mean, you know what you're talking about getting married too quick. I mean, rebound marriages are commonplace. You know, someone gets divorced and they meet somebody else and, you know, they think they're great looking and, you know, all of a sudden they're having sex with somebody else and the sex is great. And it's just, oh my God.
And they're everything the other person wasn't.
Spouse. Right. Yeah. And say, you know, think this person is totally different from my spouse. And, you know, this is going to be different. But the fact of the matter is they don't have any idea. It's just something different. And so they gravitate towards it. And if you haven't worked through the issues that were, you know, that were involved in the marriage that failed, you know, you're pretty much doomed to failure because the statistics are not good with, you know, every successive marriage, the divorce rate is higher, you know. So first marriages might be, you know, in the 40s. The second marriages are in the low 60s. Third marriages are in the 70s. You know, so you figure, you know, if you've got a Larry King-like client, you know, that's an annuity. You know, if you're a divorce attorney, and that's great for you, but God, man, that's just, you know, that's just misery happening over and over and over again.
Too funny.
So,
well, let me throw this wrench at you. What about the situation where we've got someone who is getting divorced because there's a paramour involved, and they're leaving them for someone else, what do you tell them? Oh, just go ahead and keep dating for 2 years.
Yeah, that
that's
is
a tough one.
Well, you know, I have seen very few situations where someone gets divorced and then marries the girlfriend or marries the boyfriend that they're having an affair with during their first marriage, that marriage actually works out, because it is built on an affair. So generally there's a whole nother level of distrust then that surfaces once they end up getting married, because you know what they start thinking, or they hear it from, you know, their friends. If he cheated on his wife with you, what makes you think he isn't going to cheat on you with somebody else? And vice versa. You know what? And the logic is solid on that. You know, if the vows you took did not mean enough for you to stay away from infidelity during your first marriage, I don't know that, you know, it gets any better second time around. You know, that's the reason that that's one of the reasons there's the ability to get divorced. You know, if it isn't working, you know, just hold on, get a divorce, and then you can go do whatever the hell you want for as long as you want to whoever you want once that's over. But, you know, doing it during the marriage, you know, not only is it incredibly harmful to your spouse, but these things are not kept, you know, this is not just stuff that happens in a vacuum. If you have kids, the kids are going to know about it, which is going to create problems for you. And that tends where you talked about a Band-Aid that just got ripped off, you know, 15 years later, that's the kind of thing that tends to, you know, keep animosity, huge amounts of animosity between the parties forever, you know, and that's just, it's a bad situation.
You know, some people thrive on that, and it fuels them, and it's the reason they get up in the morning to fight. But others are just, you know, are collateral damage in the whole thing. And I think it's important to note, as we're talking about this concept of getting back to normal after divorce, I don't think both parties want the divorce equally. If one person wants a divorce, and oftentimes there's another who would actually like to stay married or would like to try to work it out. And if anything, they'll say they want to be divorced because it's easier to acquiesce to the concept of I can't control the situation and it's going to happen with or without me. So you're going to have someone who is going to be a little bit burned there and may still love that person who is, you know, being venomous and everything else in the whole process and left them. So, you know, for some, they might end up leaving and walking away with a sense of, I got what I want, I put the screws to that person. You might have another person who still loves the person who just divorced them. And that can be very tragic.
Yeah, and I think that's common as well. I mean, it is very rare, I think, that, you know, both parties have the same desire for divorce equally. Typically, you have one who, you know, either flat out doesn't want it, or, you know, might be willing to work at it. And but it is definitely more common that you've got one party who wants it less, who is just, you know, the other party for whatever reason has just checked out. They're just done. And, you know, they don't have any interest in trying to work through the issues, whatever they are, no matter, you know, what the other person says. And dealing with that type of rejection, especially if you've had the mindset of, you know, it's the two of us together making our way in the world, is a hard one to swallow.
Well, and not only the two of them making their way in the world, there's so much more family involved when we have a longer marriage and we've got kids and there's grandparents and a whole team of people. So there's a lot of split relationships. And let's talk about kids for a minute, because there's a desire to do what's best for the children, what's in their best interest, and there's so much more these days than there were in years past about being a good co-parent. There's a lot of mental health people who have a focus in that area. There's, people, the suggestion of co-parents, bringing the kids together and everyone going bowling with your, some people are friends with their ex. So, I guess like step one is creating a game plan. How am I going to do this? So how do you approach, how do you suggest that someone, say they're done with their divorce. They've got their parenting, their co-parenting plan in place, but they've got to get psyched up for doing this. What are some of the things that you suggest to people?
Well, there are a couple different things here. Okay. One, understand that time is the great healer. Okay. So people are going to be rougher with one another, during the divorce and shortly after. Okay. Because typically they're, the emotions are just rougher. It's a raw situation. The other thing I will tell people is you need to make sure that you understand that the focus is the kids. The focus is not you and your ex-spouse. So you need to try to be thinking, rather than what is the most convenient for me and what do I want, you need to think about what is in the kids' best interest, And along with that, one of the things I try to think about is how big a deal is it really? So your ex-spouse says, hey, can we switch weekends? I've got family coming in, or we want to go here. There are some people that are just going to say, no, we've got an order and we're sticking by the order, and right. There's no reason to do that. If there's the ability to make something like that happen where it's going to be a good experience for the kids, make it happen. Get out of the way. Quit being an obstacle because you're doing harm to the kids. You're not doing the harm you think to your former spouse, but you are harming those kids in doing that. Okay. So that's something that is, I think, really, really important to think about. If you can keep the focus there, then that makes it a whole lot easier. Now, the other thing where you're talking about, getting together and doing different things, that may work for you. That may not work for you. It depends on what the situation is. Was there a lot of infidelity? Was there emotional abuse? Was there physical abuse? So there are a whole bunch of things there. So what I tell people in that situation is remember that you do not have to put yourself in harm's way. That means physically, obviously, or emotionally. If you're just not at that place, okay, where, you want to pull a Bruce Willis and Demi Moore and go on a vacation together with your new spouses and the kids, well, by all means, don't do that, and most people don't. The goal should be that, let's say, if your kids are in sports, that at some point, you and your former spouse can sit on the bench together and talk and enjoy your progeny and how well he or she is doing in their respective event. Okay. Because it's about the kids. You still, y'all loved each other at one point, or even if you didn't love each other, y'all liked each other enough to have a kid. And so you now have responsibilities. So get over yourself and do what is the right thing for the kids.
Especially where, as parents, children only have one set of parents to look up to, and mom and dad are the end all be all greatest people in the world to so many kids, until a certain point where they start maybe getting in college or beyond, and they start being critical of mom and dad. But while they're kids, they look up to you so much, and how you act in a co-parenting situation seems to me to set the tone for those kids' abilities to have good lives and relationships in the future.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And one thing that is very important, we were talking about the dating stuff a little bit. If you're dating someone and you're getting serious with them, you've got to have real serious conversations with them, about parenting stuff. Do they have kids the same age as your kids? Do they have kids at all? If they, what role do they believe they should play in, raising your kids? I mean, these are all hot buttons, and there's not one right answer on these things, but I mean, you sure as hell cannot have a step parent trying to come in and take the place of a biological parent. You do that and you will create all kinds of problems for your kids and for you. And I guarantee you, you get in front of a judge and they find that the step parent is the catalyst for the problems, you know, the judge is likely to do some make a very draconian ruling as it relates to that step parent. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, I tried a case, I guess it was probably 4 years ago in Denton County. And I represented mom, and it was the new stepmother that was the problem. And we tried this thing for, I guess, 3 days. And we had had a couple day temporary order hearing three times, before that. And through the course of that, was able to show the court that this woman was really the cause of the problems. And at the end of the trial, the court made the ruling that she was not allowed to be alone with any of these kids. She could only be alone, or she could only be with the kids in the presence of her husband. She wasn't allowed to call or text the kids unless there was an emergency. So the courts really don't like it when you've got someone coming in, you know, that they're all of a sudden going to run the roost. You know, it doesn't work well. So if you want to have a second or third or fourth or Larry King type marriage, you know, situation later, and you want it to work, you really better make sure that y'all are on the same page as far as, you know, the co-parenting. And in addition to that, you know, don't go introducing your kids to whoever the flavor of the week is. You know, introduce
yourself. Drives me nuts when people do that.
You know, I've had friends that have done that and said, well, you know, they're old enough, they should understand that. I'm like, man, you're damaging them. And, you know, I said, I can rattle off the studies if you want to see that kind of stuff. And I'll give you an example. I got remarried a couple years ago. Over the 11 years that I was divorced, my daughter, who is now 18 and graduating from high school, met three women that I dated in 11 years. Two of which, one who is my wife now, another woman that I was, well, and two other women that I was very serious with. And, you know, one of them broke, didn't work because, you know, she and my daughter were like, you know, oil and water. And the other turned into a long distance thing that didn't make it. But you got to make sure that your kids can get along with the person you're going to be with. If they don't, you know, you need to think about what your priorities are. You know, so there are a lot of moving parts in these things.
You know, there's an interesting thing with, you know, how many bites at the apple you get. And, you know, if you get married the first time, you didn't work out, you realize you weren't good at being married, maybe you fix it, you know, to try again. I guess you can get married and divorced as many times as you like, but you only have one bite at the apple at raising a healthy children in the children's best interest. So, again, you know, I can't, you know, reinforce what you're saying enough about, you know, not, you know, rushing into things. And, you know, it takes – and even though those kids might seem fine and say, oh, I'm fine, they may be coping their own ways and withdrawn. And, you know, who knows what can happen. So life
well,
are messy,
you know,
people
another,
are messy.
Well, and another part, you know, that people just don't think about as much is – kids see everything. They see everything. So that's when, you know, if they observe, you know, here's one of the things that, you know, I think I have always been respectful with the people that I date and are dated before I get married. And my daughter sees how I treat my wife, and she can see how in love we are and how we treat each other. And that's a fantastic thing for her to see, because that's what teaches her how a relationship should be. You know, same thing, you know, with on her mother's side. Okay. Now, if you're one of these people who is, you know, let's say if you're a guy who is, you know, got a different flavor of the week and is introduced, you know, your kids see this, you know, then your kids are learning from that and thinking that is what's
mm-hmm.
normal.
Right.
You know, and that's not an example that you want to provide. So you need to think a little bit. You know, you are setting an example, and what you think your kids don't see, you're fooling yourself, because they see all of it. They see all of it. And so if then you get worried that, you know, Junior here is dating everybody under the sun, you know, and can't seem to settle down because seems to have commitment issues, well, maybe you look at yourself in the mirror and get an idea where some of that
comes. I learned it by watching you, you know, exactly.
That's right.
Like
it's like the, yeah, it's like the, you know, the weed commercial there, you know, where'd you learn to do this? I learned
where'd
it by watching you, okay?
Where'd you get this? I got it from you, Dad.
Right, exactly.
Too funny, too
I raided
funny.
Your supply.
Right. That happens, you know.
That's right.
Wow.
And next time,
well, that's a whole nother podcast.
That's right.
Anyhow, we're about out of time, but Mark, I want to thank you for your time and talking about season. These are really important issues, you know. We also we seem to focus a lot on the whole process of getting divorced and family law and all that, but really rehabilitating the person afterwards, so important. If anybody has questions about this or maybe wants a referral for a counselor or help or whatnot or continue the dialogue, what's a good way for folks to get a hold of you?
You know, anybody can email me at mark@rulescroggins.com or you can call me at the office, 214-578-0941.
All right. Well, you have a fun trip to Odessa, and we'll write you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Nick. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye, Mark.